there was some turmoil in 3D printer world because the printer that I'm using put out some kind of press release that they were going to start locking down their operating system instead of being open source like it was, which means in the future they could keep you from possibly using other slicers, and what would really suck is using other people's filament. Like they could they could lock it down to be like, this is, you can only buy our filament, and their filament's expensive.
Oh, that's like how the printers are doing it.
Yeah, so if it comes to that, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this 3D printing, like craft fair thing that I want to do, because I'd have to invest in a whole nother ecosystem to do it.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
John.
How you doing, John?
I'm good now that the deep freeze is over.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could have been up here. It was way worse.
Yeah.
So we ended up with 4 inches of snow on top of an inch of ice. Didn't leave the house for like 4.5 days. And since Charleston is such a big area that, like, you know, the news covers, the people of downtown Charleston got maybe an inch where I got like 4 inches of actual snow. And the poor meteorologists in this area get bitched at constantly because they didn't give the correct forecast. And it's like, they're trying to forecast a giant area.
Right.
Like you got snow, which everybody wanted and then didn't want because, oh my God, this sucks. And it's like, well, of course it does. But you guys don't understand that. I mean, in 2018, we had a similar thing happen where they were like, oh, it'll be here for a day and then it's going to warm up. And that was here for a week. And so this was the same thing. Like they were like, oh, it's going to be here a day. It's going to be like 2 inches. And then it was like, four in ice and here for 5 days. And so my kid, fortunately, the school, because nobody has snow shovels, there are no plows. There's no, you know, you can't go to a hardware store and get winter supplies. They are smart enough to know that all the redneck kids can't get to school because their blocks are iced over. And so fortunately in this day and age, she has e-learning days where they send her assignments on her computer and then she just turns them in remotely. So she won't have to make up any days, but you know, fortunately for her, she didn't have to go.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We had a couple of very cold mornings, but that seems to have been gone.
So you didn't get any, it wasn't cold enough at all to like snow, right? Near you?
Not down here, no.
Because I
up
saw
in the panhandle.
Okay, because I saw people that we've worked with that I thought still lived in Orlando that had snow, like put up pictures of snow. And I was like, I think I would have heard if, like, Orlando had gotten snow.
Yeah. I do not know who those people are, but there was no snow down this way.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, they're lying.
Well, I don't think they're lying. I just am not aware of where they are at this moment.
Yeah, could be.
So what else is going on?
Oh, not much. Not much. Just, you know, sitting back, watching the chaos, plotting my escape.
Oh, yeah? Can I come with you?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I just may cut all ties and go live somewhere.
Someday you're just gone.
Someday I'm just gone, and people are like, hey, remember that guy? What happened to him? And you'll be, oh, yeah, him. I have no idea.
Yeah, I can't tell you because I don't know.
Right. So, yeah, so the big storm is, I mean, the big cold front's gone, and it's now close to 70, going to get up to like 75, 78 later in the week. So
nice.
Hopefully that was our winter. But who knows? Who does know?
The shadow knows.
The shadow knows.
There's an old reference. Look that one up, kids.
The Who? Oh, the Alec Baldwin movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Other than that, not too much going around. Apparently there's some kind of mega flu going around this area, but
oh, fun.
Knock on wood. Yeah. I avoid people as much as possible. It's the best way.
It's always a good rule. Did you watch anything this week?
I watched a few things.
Yeah.
I watched another episode of Dune Prophecy.
Just one?
I still can't get into it. I mean, I'm trying. It's only what, 8 episodes?
I think so.
But it just feels like such a slog.
I mean, for like 55-minute episodes, they feel super long. They feel like 2 hours.
Well, yes, they do.
And I
think that's the problem.
Yeah, and I don't know why. It's just got to be like the Dune aesthetic, because the two movies felt eternal to me as well. So,
yeah.
When this came out and I was like, well, okay, at least it's not that world. At least we're not on Arrakis. And, you know, we'll get to know how these women became all powerful. And it's like, oh, no, we're just going to sit on this.
Yeah.
But did you get to see what happened to the kid?
He got attacked by the little scorpion toy.
Okay.
Right?
Then that must be okay. Are you going to watch the rest of it?
Oh God, I don't know.
Because I can't remember what happens in what episode, to be quite honest.
I will say that not much happens on any episode.
Okay, I think you would have remembered the big thing.
The big thing. Then there was no big thing.
Okay.
They went to another planet. Well, I guess they went to the planet where the boy died.
Where the boy died?
Well, where the prince or whatever the hell he was got killed by the thing.
Okay.
One of the older ones, somebody walked in on them and she was working on like poisons.
Yeah.
But there really wasn't much of an explanation on that. So, yeah, it's just not, I don't know. Maybe I need some giant worms to be entertained.
I mean, even then though, I think maybe Dune on a whole, and I know there's tons of people that love the two movies and good for them, but I don't connect to that, to those stories at all.
Right.
Like I said, I think some of the set design is cool and, you know, it's got a good cast. Like including this TV show, like it's all feels cohesive as far as like the sets and the design of the worlds and what you've seen before. And even though this is in the past, like that's cool. But if the story is not engaging and it's just not to me, I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like this is another story like The Acolyte that was set decades and decades before the story we know. And it's like, do I really care about this?
Right.
And I'm going to say, no, I really don't.
I mean, it's very reminiscent. I'm sure you didn't watch this TV show, but there was, and poor Travis Fimmel, who's also in the Dune TV show, was in this.
Vikings?
No, it's called Raised by Wolves, and it was an HBO show. And it was
okay.
Human-looking androids that were tasked with raising human children on a planet. And for all intents and purposes, it should have been the show that I got obsessed with.
Yeah.
And I watched like 3 episodes and I was like, I just don't connect to this.
Huh.
And I don't know. It's for some reason, like, I don't know if it's heady sci-fi. I don't know what sets apart Dune from more action-based sci-fi, because there is action in Dune.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it might be Denis Villeneuve too, because
okay.
for as good as a filmmaker as he is, and I will give him props for everything, like Blade Runner 2049 feels like a really long film too. And so does The Arrival. And like a lot of the stuff that he's done, that he's directed, just feels like it moves at a snail's pace. And while I love the original Blade Runner and I like Blade Runner 2049, I don't really ever rewatch Blade Runner 2049 because I'm like, it just feels too fucking eternal. And that's the same thing with Dune. So I don't know if the Dune TV show was just like, we have to follow Denis' like vision to a T or what, but like they copied the boringness of it, I guess, if that's the word you want to use.
Sure.
I never read the book, so I can't tell you whether or not, you know, I know you've said that they're hard to get through.
They are. But there are so many characters in the book that are just kind of like blown over. And it's like you chose to concentrate on these characters.
Right.
You know, like Josh Brolin's character. It's like he's got such a huge part in the books. But then, you know, when you get to the movies, you know, especially the Denis Villeneuve, they're just, you know, glossed over.
Yeah. And I mean, with all of the, how many Dune books are there? Like,
oh Jesus, I can't even tell you.
But is the first two movies based on like the first book?
Yes.
Okay.
But there's even stuff in that, like his sister. It's like her sister as a toddler is in the first part of the first novel.
Right.
And yet here they were, who was it? Anya Taylor-Joy. Is that her name?
In the first Dune movie?
Was she even in the first Dune movie?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's, you know, it's like she was a character that should have been explored and wasn't. You know, there's another character, Thufir Hawat, who was pretty much cut out of the Villeneuve movies, but he was like a he was called a mentat. I don't know how to describe that though.
Okay.
Kind of vaguely psychic, maybe. You know, I mean, even you know, Baron Harkonnen. It's like in the David Lynch movie, he was such a disgustingly evil character that made him interesting.
Right.
And in this one, it was like, oh, it's like, you know, a Mad Max ripoff.
Yeah. I think that comes to a lot from the fact that they're trying to craft a story that was different from David Lynch's. And they just couldn't, you know, they couldn't include everybody without, they probably felt that it was too similar.
Right.
But yeah.
So sad.
That's funny that you only got through one.
Well, no, two now.
Well, two, but like since we've talked last.
Yeah, but it's like Silo. It's like I've got one episode left on season two.
Okay.
And that kind of season two kind of started off where I'm like, oh, this is going to be kind of like this. Meanwhile, in the other Silo, but yeah. Then it picked up and you could see that it was, you know, going back and forth between the two and seeing how different their fates are. I really like it.
Yeah, I thought you might.
All that's left is like the finale of season two that I've got to watch.
Okay.
But I like the storytelling. I like the whole when, is it Bernard who goes to, who finds the tunnel?
Oh, that's not Bernard, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the Arab looking guy.
Yeah.
And he ends up at the doors to the other Silo, we're assuming, and there's like this big booming, you know, Wizard of Oz voice. It's like, okay, that's really interesting. I mean, I hope that we're not done with like the kids from the second Silo. Because I think there's a really interesting story to tell there, and I don't think it's been resolved to any point yet.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away for the finale for you, but
they'll die.
There's definitely going to be an A and B story next year or next season that I don't know how much the other Silo will factor in, unless they do an A, B, and a C.
Oh,
because
okay.
I don't think. I don't think you cast somebody like what's his name?
Tim Robbins?
No. The guy in the other Silo.
Oh, Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn. I don't think you cast Steve Zahn for a one season arc. I would assume that. Well, see, I don't want to give anything away until you watch it. But I do believe that we're going to go back there at some point.
Okay.
Just maybe not right away. Because they did, the producers came out and said that they're like weeks away from shooting season three, and season four has already been written.
Okay.
So
well, that's cool.
As long as Apple TV continues to produce the show,
right?
We still should get it. I really enjoy the world building, and how, you know, in the lore of what you kind of glean from everything, like, the Silo that Juliet is from. There aren't very many artists and creative people to where okay. The one that she winds up in has a ton of artists and there's bright paintings on everything, and like they go to the school, and the school is made up of like puppets and more creative things. And that the idea that they could be that there's a number of silos that housed one certain set of people. So that you know, like the creatives would all flourish within the creative silo. That while there would be have to be farmers and maintenance people, like the majority of that silo would be creatives that would continue to create art and music and things like that, so that whenever they were able to go outside after whatever's happened, you know, there'd still be that element of humanity.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm really tempted to get the books.
I hear the show is better than the books.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, is I don't want to, you know, like, you know, I read all the Harry Potter books, so I knew everything that was cut from the movies.
Right.
So I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, and from what I understand, the books are very, the characters in it are very one-dimensional.
Okay.
Where they flesh them out greatly for the TV show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I finished Creature Commandos.
Yeah, how was that?
I really liked it.
Okay.
It's incredibly gory for a cartoon.
Really?
Yes. But not in a bad way, because it's a cartoon.
Right.
Really strong finish. The person they thought they were going to assassinate, they were, and towards the end of the season, they think that they've been set up, and then when they get there, they find out that no, that was real the whole time. That's who they were supposed to kill, and then at the very end, they go back to the prison. And Walker has set them up with like their own wing. And they open the doors, and King Shark is there, and the Sorceress is there. And
oh.
So, I mean, I don't know if they're going to open it up to that, but I really liked it. It was a quick season. Each episode was really fast paced. Kind of a cool gypsy punk soundtrack.
Okay.
But I would recommend it.
Okay.
I would recommend it to anybody who keeps praying the DC multiverse will actually come to be. But we'll have to wait and see. What else did I watch? Feels like it's so long ago. Started season 2 of Arcane.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like the look of it. I like the characters. We'll see where this goes.
Okay.
I am getting to a point, though, where so much of the sci-fi that I really enjoy is mirroring real life. And I kind of feel like maybe I should just watch the Brady Bunch for the next 4 years. It'll be less depressing.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a dystopian vibe to the stuff that I watch, too.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, it is like, you know, we are getting to the Hunger Games or Squid Games or, you know, shit like that, where shit's going to be out of our control. And you're right, the stuff that makes you laugh seems to be few and far between these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. Give me some good old 70s sitcom. what else have you been watching?
I finished Alice in Borderland.
Okay.
Has an ending that I was not expecting.
Really?
Know that they've talked about a season 3, but I'm not really sure how they would do it if the ending of season 2 is accurate.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll ever watch it. Do you have any interest in it?
No.
Okay. So from the beginning of season 1, these three guys get transported to a version of Tokyo that has nobody in it, but they are forced to play these death games.
Okay.
And sometimes they survive and sometimes they don't. And it was referred to as Borderland maybe once or twice throughout the show of where they are. And they kept talking about how there are once you finish a game and you survive, you get days on your visa. And so the characters are trying to figure out if this is a different country and a different reality. And at the end of season 1, basically when you complete a game, the game is based on a suit of cards. So 2 through 10, ace, heart, jack, spade, and diamond. Each game is a different hardness level, and each of the different suits is the type of game that you'll play. And so by the end of season 1, they've gone through all of the cards, but they haven't seen the face cards yet. And in season 2, they have to deal with all the face cards. And you get to the final episode, and the hero is going up against the final game. And all of a sudden, he wants to know, like, they stop the game in the middle, and they're like, let's take a break. And he's like, just answer my question. If we're done here, do we get to go home? And so all of a sudden it flashes to this main character in a like mental institution. And the doctor who is the game master from the last game is sitting there, and she's like, tell me why you're here. What do you remember? And they flash back to the very first episode where they're in the middle of the street and they're fucking around, and they go to run off the street, and instead of all three of them making it off the street, his two friends get killed. And so I'm like, so is everything that we've watched been like in this dude's head? And half of the episode is this, and I'm like, this is not what I was expecting like the final game to be. And then they're like, the girl that he's playing the final game with, the other contestant, shows up, and she's like, you're still in the game. And so it goes back to Borderland, and I'm like, so was everything we just saw not real? And then they do the real ending where it turns out that everybody that you've watched over the past two seasons were the victim of a meteor strike in Tokyo. And okay, what you're seeing is like, I don't want to say purgatory, but like,
oh God,
them all sharing this existence where the survival of what you've seen in the show corresponds to if they survive the meteor strike. So it's a really bizarre, like, way to end the second season. And from what they said is the second season ends in reality. So it was a meteor strike, and it was this shared unconscious reality of whether you live or die. But they're going to do a season 3. So okay. I'm totally like, it's not like Lost where you get to the end and you're like, oh God, they were dead the whole time. it felt different than that. It felt like a better setup. Okay. Because you're only dealing with two seasons. You're not having to deal with all the bullshit of like, we're not going to answer any questions. You know, every time that they brought up a question, they seemed to answer it within the confines of Borderland. But it was just, it was very like out of nowhere, like out of left field comes this ending. And I was like, all right, I mean, I'll take it for what it's worth because the show was good.
Hmm.
You know, out of 16 episodes, one is a little funky.
Okay.
But, you know. What else did I watch? I watched a couple of movies. I watched my movie that I've seen before that because I wanted to kind of laugh was, have you ever seen Empire Records?
Yes.
Okay. So I rewatched that. Cause that movie makes me laugh. And that's, you know, for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's a movie that takes place in a record shop, where Liv Tyler and Renee Zellweger work, and there's a subplot with one of the guys taking money to Atlantic City and losing all of the money from the night before while it's Rex Manning Day. And Rex Manning is, yes, this like goofball singer who thinks he's better than he is, and he shows up for like a record signing and whatever. But it's a fun, silly, like, movie. There's not too much, like, darkness in it.
Okay.
On the dark side, though...
Yes?
I watched a movie called In a Violent Nature, which is a straight-up horror film. And it's a creature horror film. Well, not really. It's a Michael Myers-type character.
Okay.
It's different because it's made to look like an 80s horror film. It's in 4x3 instead of 16x9.
Okay.
You are following the Jason type character instead of his victims. And there's no music. Any music that's in the film is coming from a source in the movie. So like, headphones or radio or something like that. There is no composed music for it. And
yeah,
it was a really, really interesting take on that horror genre because, we've reached the point where CGI takeovers of terrible looking things look absolutely real. And so there's a scene where they're in the woods, and the whole gist of the film is these guys that are staying in a cabin are out in the woods looking around, and they find a burned down shed that's got a thing stuck in the middle with a necklace hanging off. And they take the necklace, and that wakes this dude up because the necklace belonged to his mother.
Okay.
So he's trying to get it back. And so there is a shot where he takes out one of the guys in the woods, and he's laying there, and he picks up a rock, and it's an overhead shot. And the dude is between the guy's legs, and he's moving. He's like crawling backwards, and then he throws the rock down on the dude's head, and his head like bursts. And it's all in one shot. It's all done from above. And it's like seamless VFX takeover.
Okay.
There's also another murder that takes place with a log splitter and a dude's, ooh, head. And like the entire time you see this guy moving and he's like looking around and like he's watching this thing come towards him. And it's an unbroken shot where he's watching it. And then all of a sudden his head comes off. But it's done really well. And for a low budget film, like, I was very impressed with it. I know horror is not your genre, but.
Right.
If you like visual effects and you like horror films and you haven't seen it yet, I think it's on Apple Plus. But it's really good. It's only like 90 minutes long. I don't know why I've been to horror so much recently, other than, you know, State of the World and all, but
yeah.
Definitely has been on the top of my playlist recently.
Also watched the first couple of episodes of the new Tim Allen show with Kat Dennings.
Yeah.
He's gotten to the point where he is always playing the same character.
So it's Tim the Tool Man Taylor?
Yeah, in this one, he's got a auto body shop. Kat Dennings plays his daughter. The fat kid from Mighty Ducks is his grandson.
Okay.
He's like watching it going, I know that kid from somewhere. And apparently they're adding Nancy Travis as his wife. And she was his wife on... oh, God, what was it called? I watch it, like, every night in reruns.
The last one he did where he was, like, the owner of, like, an outdoor shop? Oh, wasn't that Last Man Standing?
Last Man Standing. Yeah, that's okay. It. Yes. So, I don't know. I mean, is he going to be another Kevin James that he can only work with certain people?
Well, I heard they were that there was some scuttlebutt that Jonathan Taylor Thomas was going to be on the show.
Well, he was on the last one.
Yeah.
You know, did 3 or 4 episodes.
I mean, the other son just got arrested in Myrtle Beach for domestic abuse, so I'm sure he's not going to show up.
And the third son is crazy.
Oh, it's got Sean William Scott in it, too?
Yes.
Stifler. I mean, you think he's finally coming to an end of his, like, popularity here for Tim Allen?
I don't know. I mean, I really liked Last Man Standing. It was a good juxtaposition of his character versus the three daughters. And even though, like, two of the daughters were recast at different times.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like this kind of feels like, oh, he's into classic cars. Oh, we've never seen that before.
Right, right. They're writing for what he knows. You know, he's not trying to act.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Until more stuff starts coming back, I'll watch it until it gets unwatchable.
Right.
He did make another Toy Story joke in, I think, the second episode.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the first time he did it on Last Man Standing, it was pretty funny because he wasn't directly involved in it.
Okay.
Like, one of the daughters is, like, in his office, and she sees an envelope, like a, you know, a Netflix envelope with a movie in it. She's like, Toy Story 4? That's not even out yet. Like, okay, that gave me a chuckle.
I mean, but there was there was in Home Improvement, there was a joke in one of the episodes between him and Jonathan Taylor Thomas where they either held up a Buzz Lightyear or talked about Buzz Lightyear, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas was like, no, my jam's the Lion King, because he was the voice of Simba.
Right.
So, I mean, it seems like that follows him, too.
Yeah. Whatever. There's not a lot on these days.
No, there's not.
Nope. And I seem to be watching a lot of procedurals like old folks do. Elspeth, Matlock, High Potential.
I have to watch the new High Potential stuff because they had like a really long break.
Yeah.
And then I kept forgetting to look it up.
I like it. I think she's really good in the role.
So do I.
So it, you know, I hope the writing just stays up with it.
And I enjoy very much the their storytelling where it goes from like she has an idea about how something happens and they flash to it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, no, it can't be that. And so then they flash to something else. Like those little interstitial things I really enjoy because it's different than just a regular procedural.
Right. Yeah, that's what I like about Elspeth, because it's you know the murderer like in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
But then the whole episode is how they get to discovering who it was. And they just brought Michael Emerson on as her adversary because that's Carrie Preston's husband. And I don't know how I feel about that. Because it's very, very light.
Yeah.
And goofy. And Michael Emerson plays all these really intense, evil characters.
Well, he does so it like, really well, though.
He does.
And Homeboy had to put up with Jim Caviezel for all that time. So, you know, maybe he's looking for something lighter.
Has he ever done a comedy? No. Years and years ago, maybe?
I mean, he was funny when he first got the Lost.
I mean, he was?
Then it changed. Yeah, he was like the goofy, like you didn't know what his deal was.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like serious.
He was the Joker in The Dark Knight Returns.
He was?
In the animated one, yeah. In 2012.
Yeah. He plays an evil wizard in Man and Witch, The Dance of a Thousand Steps.
He's in the movie Straitjacket.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Oh, that's probably not a comedy. Never mind.
Yeah. Nope. Do you have any opinions on the Oscar nominations? I was kind of unimpressed.
I don't know if... Yeah, I mean, it's all very status quo. I'm a little more intrigued by the fact that they're not doing musical numbers this year.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that you could cut out without dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole nother award ceremony that they do for, like, the technical stuff.
Right.
Where a lot of this shit could go, you could put documentary films and international films and shit like that into the technical ones and leave the entertainment portions intact. Like, yeah, I don't know, man.
I have absolutely no interest in watching this.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time that I watched an Oscars telecast.
Yeah, I've seen two of the best pictures, Dune Part 2 and Wicked. Mm-hmm. I do want to see Conclave.
I mean, I will say I'm impressed that The Substance has as many, being a horror film, as many nominations as they have, especially for like Best mm-hmm. Picture and Directing.
Right.
You know, I know that Demi Moore won, what was it, the Golden Globe for The Substance?
Yes. I mean, good for her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a wild movie. It is batshit crazy at the end. like, you're sitting there watching it going, what the fuck am I watching? Like, what is this? So that I'm all for. I'm glad that they're acknowledging that. But if you're going to do that, then why isn't there a category for, like, stunts? And why isn't there a category for, like, you know, other things that they're not, that Hollywood has frowned upon in, like, the award season?
Right. I don't know. I just remember when the Oscars were entertaining, and they're just not anymore.
No, they've tried to streamline shit to the point where, like, you get through it in 3 hours, but it's still, I don't understand why they break it out the way that they do. I mean, I love visual effects. It's one of the reasons that I go to the theater is to watch visual effects. I don't necessarily know if it needs to be in the telecast.
Well, unless they can make it entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, show some footage of no effects whatsoever and then build it up and show the process. But get an interesting sequence to really highlight it, and, you know, not something boring.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, what they should be doing is showing the sizzle reels that the VFX companies give to the voters in order for them to decide. But they mm-hmm. don't. They cherry pick certain shots to where, like, you know, they'll show three things really quick because they have, you know, five of them to get through.
Right.
But I mean, if you're going to do it, they should do it correctly. And, you know, everybody submit a 3-minute thing. Yeah, it's going to be 15 minutes of the show, but you would get an appreciation of what it took to do Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes or Wicked or, mm-hmm. you know, Better Man, which I don't think is going to win.
No, Better Man is just a weird concept.
Yeah, I talked to somebody the other day that saw it, and
yeah.
I was like, I said, well, first, did you know who Robbie Williams was going in? And they were like, yeah, I've seen interviews with him. And I said, well, that's how I know him. Like, if it wasn't for the Graham Norton show, I wouldn't know 90% of the people in England, like, performer-wise.
Right.
And I was like, is it ever Robbie Williams? Like, does he feel inadequate? And so, like, when he's seeing himself perform, he's the monkey? And they were like, no, it's the monkey start to finish. And I was like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I guess the way that it's explained in the movie is that he feels like he's a dancing monkey. Like, he's not a person. He's this tool by the record labels to make money and whatever.
Right.
But there's got to be a more interesting way to do it than, like, he's just a monkey, anthropomorphized monkey that, like, can sing and dance, instead of, like,
right.
it being a version of Robbie. Now, maybe Robbie's not a good actor. Maybe they figured out that, like, oh, this would be terrible if he was on camera. But homeboy's a performer. He's done music videos.
Right.
Like, and apparently he didn't even do the motion capture. So, I don't know. I hope that they get the acknowledgement that they deserve because of how much work that probably took. Because I asked the person who saw it, I said, did the CGI work? And they were like, yeah, it looked like a real monkey singing and dancing. And I said, okay. I mean, as long as you weren't being taken out of it because it was bad CGI. And they were right. Like, yeah, no, there's other things to take you out of the movie. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you think Wicked will win?
Best Picture? I don't know. It's kind of fluffy for Best Picture.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know, maybe.
I hear everybody's really high on that Emilia Perez movie. Although I haven't seen it. Didn't the Golden Globes do something this year where it was wasn't it the award that what's his name? Oh God. Vin Diesel. Where they did an award that was based on like the most popular at the box office.
Oh. So it's the Kids' Choice Awards.
Well, kind of, but I think there's something to be said for that, because I know that we've discussed this before. There's 10 Best Picture nominees.
Right.
5 directing. I still don't understand how you have the Best Picture without it being the Best Director.
Right.
That has boggled my mind since I was a kid, since I first started watching the Oscars. I don't understand when those are different. Because if you're saying Wicked or Dune Part 2 is the best picture of the year, the director is directly responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they not... Why is Denis Villeneuve not up for directing? I don't get that. That's one of those mysteries of Hollywood that makes no sense to me. I mean, not that the Oscars mean a whole bunch outside of Hollywood. But
yeah, that's true.
Still, I don't get that. You know, it should be like, all right, so Wicked wins Best Picture. That means that the guy that directed Wicked, who is not nominated, should be the best director. And that means that right. Cynthia Erivo, I think that's how you say her name. Should be the best mm-hmm. actress, and mm-hmm. you know, and Ariana Grande should be best supporting. Like,
yeah, no.
Well, but in my mind, that's how it should work.
Yes. Come on, Ariana Grande opposite Felicity Jones, Zoe Saldana, Isabella Rossellini.
No, I understand.
You know, please.
I understand. I get that, and I told you my Wicked review is that mm-hmm. it very much felt like that's just the way Ariana Grande is. And she mm-hmm. was just saying the words, you know, and I'm sure she's acting, but like, I don't think she's going to win, but I mean, this should be a lot simpler than it is.
Right.
And gone are the days of like the special awards. You know, like when they gave Walt Disney the
right
one with the 7 little statues for Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't do that shit anymore.
No, and they used to have like the Irving Thalberg Award and all these other humanitarian awards that they would give.
Yep.
Now it just seems that they've just pared down the list to concentrate on enough content for the winners to fill time with their speeches.
Right. Well, I mean,
and it should really be about the art of movies and not the ego of movies.
Yes, absolutely. And fortunately, gone are the days of like, do you remember the years where they used to bring up all of the past winners that were in the audience, and like you would just stare at them for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they'd go back to like I remember like when Jack Nicholson used to go and they would do that, he'd be front and center and he'd be waving at people and like be like, why are we doing this? Like what's the point of this part? And they would just be like, we're just showing you all the winners. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was the year that the opening number had Rob Lowe singing Proud Mary with Snow White. Oh, that was a classic.
I don't remember that year.
Oh, you have to look it up. Oh, my God. It's horrible. It is fucking horrible. I mean, if you look at some of the old Oscar broadcasts from, like, the 80s, where it was the, you know, the variety show era. Oh, my God. Some of the shit they did was horrible. Now, some of the stuff they did was pretty clever, too. Like, one year for costume design, they featured the nominated designers, but then they did it as a fashion show of styles influenced by those movies. And I thought, well, that was kind of clever. And then there was a year that Debbie Allen did a choreographed number for sound design. And it was like all about like Foley artists.
Right.
But there were dancers doing things like, you know, slamming doors and, you know, that kind of stuff, which was kind of interesting. But now it's like it's like taking itself too damn seriously. There should be a stunt category, and there should be a stunt sequence in the frickin' auditorium.
Yep.
That'd be so cool to have, like, some of these people, you know, fall out of the ceiling and do some fighting and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
That I'd watch again. That I would watch. But I really don't care about, you know, 10 Best Picture nominees where none of them I would consider as Best Picture. You know, I don't have a front runner. More than half of these I don't know. And have no interest in seeing them.
Yeah, I don't. I've seen one, two, three. I've seen three of them.
Yeah, I've seen two.
There were back in the day. There were years where I saw, well, when it was five, that I'd seen all five. You know, and I used to get really excited about the Oscars and like would try to figure out on a sheet of like who's going to win and stuff. And like, it's just gotten to the point where it's so out there, so like specialized that like, I don't even know if Amelia Perez or Anora ever even played around here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's easier to see things now with like streaming and stuff, but like, I'm not going to take the time to watch a complete unknown at home.
Right.
Like, I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember the 90s when like Billy Crystal hosted every year?
Yep.
And he'd do some big, you know, musical production number spoofing all the titles.
Yep.
But, those times are gone.
So apparently Amelia Perez is a French musical crime comedy film.
About a woman transitioning. Yes.
Oh, I didn't get that far in the description. Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds more interesting than like the Conclave to me.
Well, no, the Conclave is interesting to me, having been raised Roman Catholic and knowing what a scam it is.
Right.
Because it's all about, you know, the inner workings of electing a pope.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, this does look interesting. I don't know if I want to watch a musical with subtitles.
No.
Or is it? Is it in English?
I mean, it's got Zoe Saldana in it. I don't know if she speaks French.
Oh, no, it is in English.
Okay.
Yeah, not really interested.
Oh, apparently it's on Netflix. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, still not interested. I suppose I could, like, watch it on fast forward.
2x speed.
Yeah.
Get through it in 1 hour and 10 minutes. Yeah, I mean, the Oscars are just, I don't know. They're just not the same anymore.
No. Back when I was a kid.
Well, yeah. And they probably sucked back then, too, but, you know, nostalgia through rose-colored glasses.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Definitely. And, you know, in the 90s, when all those Disney movies were getting nominated for Best Song, they'd all have some big stupid production number to go along with it.
Yep.
And it's like, well, that, you know, that's what I watched it for.
But see, they're not doing that this year.
I know. So I have no reason to watch it.
Yeah.
I can look at the list the next morning and go, eh.
It's literally just going to be people getting up and thanking people and sitting back down.
Yep.
Now, the question is, if Elton John's music, is his original song wins, does he go up there? He probably won't even show up.
I wouldn't think he'd show up at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that they would let him walk out of the audience, and I don't know that he would actually want to have somebody lead him on stage, like, you know, a
like
person who's going. Exactly. You know, it's like the year, I think it was the Oscars. It had to have been the Oscars. It was Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli. And Liza Minnelli was supposed to be loaded onto a director's chair during a commercial or something. And then they decided, no, we don't have time to do that. We're going to push you out in a wheelchair. And she, like, freaked out. And she was, like, visibly upset the whole time. And then Lady Gaga was like, I got you. You know, trying to calm her down. But it's like, you know, there's a point where people want to remember you at the height of your career and not at the very tail end of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of harsh, but still.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely talked about that before. We're definitely like, you need to know when to just disappear.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like Dick Clark still doing the New Year's Eve show and those awkward kisses at midnight with his wife where, like, he couldn't even, like, pucker his lips and he looks so decrepit. And it's like, why would you do this to yourself?
Yep.
You know, Johnny Carson had it right.
Yep.
And so did Bob Barker. It's just, you know, understand when it's time to go.
Absolutely.
You've left a legacy. You know, I don't want to be making appearances when I'm, like, you know, 90 and can barely walk and I can't see where I'm going and I'm probably farting and shitting myself. Oh, well.
Yeah. So when is the Oscars on? Is it?
You know, I don't even know. Don't really care.
Sunday, March 2nd.
Oh.
That seems really late.
So we have a little over a month to campaign, right?
Isn't it usually in like February?
No, kind of feels like it was the end of the end of February, March time frame.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we have time to watch some of these movies then. See what all the hubbub is about.
No, I'm okay.
No.
Yep, I'm good.
All right. Fine. Be that way. All right, you got anything else for this week?
No, that's everything on my list.
All right, well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Who glued these quarters down?